We're walking together along the Lenten path. We started this walk to the Easter cross 4 weeks ago, and we worshiped around the idea of temptation and a way to be redeemed from that. And the next week, we worshiped around the theme of blessing and how we can be uplifted by that. And last week, we worshiped in nourishment, for there's nourishment in our lifting up. And today, we're worshiping a service of anointment. Anointing. What is it? We heard in the Old Testament, an anointing of a king. And so you see, in the Old Testament, people would bring olive oil, not the stuff you buy in Costco, olive oil made from the trees in a desert land. A very precious resource. And that oil was put in a ram's horn, anointing leaders. And today we also read, Jana read to us, the anointing in healing. So today we're going to hear three kinds of anointing, and we're going to invite you to come and be anointed. Pastor Don is here today and will assist with this sacrificial rite. Purifying, blessing, and healing. So, we start with the Old Testament. We look at Samuel. Samuel, as a young boy, was called by God to minister to his people, the people of Israel. So he has this record of ministering. He ministered to King Saul, who broke the laws of God. And so he was directed, you establish the kingship of Israel throughout history. Anoint a new king. Verse 16:1 is the account of the anointing of a leader of people who inherited the promised land. The Hebrews, remember, 40 years in the wilderness, were invited into the promised land. They made it. The Hebrew slaves Moses brought home made it. And now they need a new king. Olive oil from the ram's horn was the anointing tradition of the Hebrews. And Samuel, the messenger of kings, anointed David. In this verse, it refers back to Christmas. Bethlehem. The house of Jesse is in Bethlehem. And whom do we know is from the root of Jesse? The Messiah, the long foretold Jesus, actually has been called the root of Jesse. The second kind of anointing. It's documented here in John. John, the one Jesus loved, writes about a ceremony of healing. It's a spiritual and a physical healing, and Jesus, not the messenger of kings, Jesus, the messenger of God, anoints on the Sabbath in public. He will be condemned for that. But listen to the story. There's metaphor here and there's symbol here. Rich, rich symbolism. Travel now with Christ from divine love to betrayal and ultimately death. We pick up the story here from the disciples' view. They're walking along the road. They pass by a blind man, a beggar, someone born through no fault of his own with a disability. Religious doctrine in the first century, the time of Jesus, dictates that disability comes from sin. Believe it. They believed it. This man must have sinned. But this case is a little bit problematic. Because you see, this man, as an innocent child, was born blind. Jesus corrects wrong discipline and doctrine. He loves this man first as a child of God. And then he proclaims, quote, "While I am in the world, I am the light of the world. While I am in the world, I am the light of the world." He says that in public. And then he bends down. He makes a poultice of clay. We don't understand this well. A poultice is a common folk medicine. It's been used throughout the ages. It's used to cure ills, physical disabilities. In fact, your grandmother may have used a mustard poultice or a mustard plaster. Do you remember this? And they'd stick it on your chest to heal lung disease. That was before we had penicillin. At any rate, Christ performs an anointing on this man's eyes, and a miracle happens. A blind man literally looks up, and for the first time in his life, sees the light of the world. But this physical miracle is not the end of the Lent story. It's only the start. Read the entire account. Jana began and ended. There's a middle part there. There's a drama going on here between Christ and those who cannot see. Because you see, in this part, in John, are the seeds of Jesus' crucifixion. When you read, and I encourage you to read it carefully, John 9, when you read, you're going to meet three blind mice. And here, I must quote Mother Goose. Here it is. Remember it? Three blind mice, see how they run. They all ran after the farmer's wife, who cut off their tails with a carving knife. Did you ever see such a thing in your life as three blind mice? The story here in Scripture not Mother Goose, is heartbreaking. An anointed man is reborn, literally reborn. Yet everyone he depended on his entire life betrays him, denies him. Read it. First, his own neighbors deny knowing him. They say he must be someone else, this healed man. Blind mice. Then his parents, in fear of what the Pharisees might think, deny their own son. They deny him publicly. Blind mice. Then we come to the third blind mice, the ones that hold the power. It's the Pharisees themselves. They witnessed that Jesus miracle. They witnessed him heal that blind man. Yet, they excommunicate the man who can see, throw him out of the synagogue, and deny him community with the people that he loves. Then, just for good measure, they condemn Jesus for anointing and healing on the Sabbath. They mock Jesus. Listen to what they say, quote, "We are disciples of Moses. Who are you, Jesus? Where do you come from?" Three blind mice. Now, there's a time in every sermon when folks kind of nod off, the eyes close. So I'm going to honor that today. Would you close your eyes? Each of you, close your eyes. Imagine for 10 seconds never seeing. Imagine sunsets, lost. Imagine smiling faces, gone. Imagine never seeing who speaks to you. Who will you trust? Who will you know? Open up your eyes. Let's pick up the story again. Verse 34 through 41. Jesus is now talking to that outcast that he just anointed, that child of God. And he asks him, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" It's a direct question. It's a yes or no answer. And the healed one says in return, "Who is he, Lord, so that I may believe?" Then he sees Jesus and he says, "Lord, I believe." So now let's ask that Lent question. Do you believe in something that you can't see? Did Jesus come to save the blind so they could see? Or do you already see so well, so completely? Do you see so surely, sure of yourself, that you're now blind? Could we be one of the three blind mice? Surely not. Are we the ones that would deny Jesus? Let's close this part of worship. We want to have an anointing here today. Jesus leaves us with several words of wisdom. In verse 39, he says, quote, "For judgment I came into the world, that those who do not see may see, and that those who see become blind." Really? Don't misinterpret this verse. Jesus' coming was not for the purpose of judgment. Read John 3:17. Check it out this afternoon. I'll paraphrase it. It says, Jesus speaking, "I did not come for judgment, but to save." But his actions, the actions today, inevitably resulted in judgment by those who had decided against him. That's what he's talking about. Ultimately, in Jerusalem, on Good Friday, he paid for humanity's judgment against him. Yet Jesus anoints in loving healing, in wholeness, and he transforms blindness, my blindness, to light. We're now called to pay it forward. Jesus left us with a mission. Y'all remember it? He anointed us, each one of us, to be the hands and the feet of Jesus. He called us, quote, to be salt and light in a dark world. Could we begin that anew during Lent? Could we start today? Don, would you come forward?